Soul, 1625.
This is the business of sports.
Business of sports.
From the Economic Times.
On this episode, we go down the rabbit hole with Nikhil Bhardia, head of sponsorship sales and talent at Rise Worldwide.
See, in an athlete's career, right, you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have good days and bad days. But for us, we're very clear that the brand needs to be able to understand the athlete. And we love it because then they're talking, saying, hang on, how do we collaborate more? Why don't we create a line of something? Or why don't you do this? So it all becomes exciting, and you're not restricting yourself by saying, well, this is all you can do.
As we also discuss what it takes to build a player into a brand.
When you look at it, and it's so easy for things like this to be looked away, right? Because we just look at, oh, this person's got the highest salary, or this is the biggest sponsorship deal, or this athlete is in this endorsement, which is mind-blowing. But it's a lot about how everyone else is coming together to build that.
This is the business of sports.
Hi, Nikhil. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking time out. I think we're all very excited to have you on the show and learn a lot about Reliance and Rise Worldwide largely. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited about this. My first podcast, actually.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. A veteran of sport, at least in the industry. You've been here long enough. Yeah. You've seen the IPL. With Rise, obviously, you're seeing the ISL and a few other things. What Rise is, you know, considering things have changed structurally in the past few years. So can we give like our listeners just an idea, and myself, to be honest, what that structure currently looks like? What is Rise Worldwide?
So Rise is India's independent, it's the largest sports, lifestyle and entertainment company.
Right.
Clear focus on sports and lifestyle primarily. We do a bit of entertainment work. But here it's, I think it's like the typical sports marketing agency, right? You got sponsorship, you got consulting, right. You got the player business, you got production, you got licensing,
right.
You got operation about events, the entire piece.
Right.
You got media rights as part of it. And we obviously own a few IPs. See, listen, I think Rise in a lot of way, from an international perspective, is about being the bridge to the West. You know, it's either taking Indian brands internationally or international brands like the La Liga in India is a classic example where we did the broadcast deal. Rohit Sharma is the face of the La Liga. And we've done a global sponsorship deal for BKT from India. See, I think if you look at sport, commerce is important, right? Commerce
Absolutely.
Is very, very important. And I think at the end, you need to look at the journey. When the IPL started off, it was about, you know, it was very nascent, right? Everything was, yes, India consumed cricket for a long, long time.
Yeah.
That's very well. But from a brand perspective, it's very new. So brands found a new platform, which was the IPL.
Right.
And it's interesting. And I think what happened is initially, everyone was trying to find the ground. There were no benchmarks.
Yeah.
There were no professionals that, you know, understood sport, right? And everyone started looking at it from a media buy perspective. Yeah, how much exposure am I going to get? So the first 3-4 years, I spent understanding exposure numbers, how many times it's seen, right. What benefits get. But like everything, it's evolved, right? Today, if you look at it, I think one of the big wins in the IPL is that how many multiple brand deals have happened. And I think because Rise is very proud of that piece, right? We started this with Jio, which is now a partner with all the 10 teams.
Yeah.
BKT is a partner with about it's about 7 teams last season,
right.
But about 4 back. So if you look at it from that perspective, that Boat was another example which had multiple brands. So where it's now moving towards is brands are saying, let me be a partner with multiple teams, which moves towards the philosophy of less is more, which is kind of IPL's philosophy, which is, you know, have less brands, give more, what was earlier share of voice, but I now call more share of heart, of emotion, because that's what sport is about consuming, right?
Absolutely.
And I think we're all getting better from a creative perspective, right? It's about what you do. I think because it's evolving, it's about trying to put the fan in the center. So, you know, if you look at it, a lot of brands earlier would come and say, I want to be a partner with this team. I want to use the player image and I want to shoot a TVC. What's happening right now is there are not so many TVCs.
Right.
People are saying, how do I do more meet and greets? Now, that's fantastic because that means a brand is able to use these assets. From a business perspective, it's much, much more impactful.
Yeah.
But more importantly, from a fan perspective, if you're a fan today, you consume a product. you could get a chance to meet your favorite player, interact, engage, you know, physically, virtually. So these kind of evolution is what is going to make it exciting. And I'll tell you one more thing is, we did a lot of research on, is the commercialization good or bad, right? Because you do get the purists saying, oh God, this is so commercial. But you know, I think a lot of India likes it. A lot of data shows me that people like it. Right. But I think the key is also, how do you try and get the right narrative? You don't want it to be a call to action saying, go buy a product. It's more saying, can I get a chance to be a super fan? How do I get that wow experience? So I think that's where our role comes in, to actually spend time with rights holders, with brands, of saying what's right for the fan.
My qualm with coming back to the whole IP, it's jarring. That, for me, comes from a fan experience point of view purely. And I do want, this alleviates a lot of things that my beliefs in terms of brands, less is more, definitely. If you look at the NFL's model, for example, most valuable sports property out there, barely ever see a logo.
On the kit, yeah, but how many ads do you see?
A lot.
Exactly.
A
so
lot of ads.
If you look at the NFL, actually, it's so well made for TV.
Yeah.
The amount of ads, because it goes into breaks. The BCCI and the IPL teams have all tried to work on this. As and when the market evolves, it's about trying to get the ecosystem right. As and when brands also start using sport as a much stronger platform.
Yeah.
If the values are right, the more and more revenue comes into the sport from a commercial perspective, I think that is going to address why it is. You have to remember something, the IPL is only 15 years old.
Absolutely.
Look at all the other sports, they've been there for what, 40, 50 years plus.
Absolutely.
So even then, if you look at it, I think credit to the IPL. I really think it's... there's a lot of work to be done. I'm not taking away.
Yeah.
And I think that's the fun part for all of us, of how do we address it? Because you're always going to get higher and higher targets. Expectations are going to be there from business. But I think that's why I'm going back to the fact that I think keeping the fan, how do we find smart solutions and find the balance between commercialization, but giving more value to the fan. Eventually, that's where our model's going to be there, right? More fans consuming jerseys, licensing is going to get bigger.
Yeah.
Fan experiences in the stadium has got to be much easier.
Yeah.
But, you know, the good thing is I'm hearing teams talk about all of this. It's amazing, actually, where now we get so many inquiries, so many conversations from IPL teams.
Right.
You know, if you ask me about 4 years back, when we were building this whole thing, they would be like, you know, how do we get more revenue? Now they come to us saying, how do we get smarter revenue? What can we do for the fans? So they're also, you know, on the back of the media rights and, you know, revenue coming in. They're also
things
saying,
are better.
How do we get? So everyone's trying to find the solutions, which means that the mindset is in the right place. It's now just a matter of time till solutions keep coming. You need to understand culture also, right?
No, 100%. It's a bit like Maslow's pyramid, right? You get your basics covered and then you have the bandwidth to actually think about the finer things. So I think the financial models have just about fallen into place. Teams turning a profit. You can get into now bettering that experience and
yeah, the interesting things, you know, example, for the first time we saw the Gujarat Titans, which won the IPL.
Yeah.
They launched a line of clothing at Fashion Week, which was amazing. Now, if you look at it, the NBA actually came to us last season and said that, you know, 75-year celebration in India, we want to line a launch of clothing with an Indian designer. So we launched at Fashion Week, and then you had the Titans winning the IPL and saying, okay, you know what? I want to try and do some. For me, the interesting part is that they're just not looking at it as a sports fan. They're saying, okay, this is a fan, and what can we give them and be part of their daily life? As against typically you say, okay, let's just go buy those jerseys or something I can wear in the sports field. But now all that is kind of changing, which is very interesting. Again, there's a lot of data available because of digital, right? We didn't, to the longest time, I think sports franchises knew their fans in India. Because of digital, that's all accelerated so well. Where now, you know, every decision we make is so data-driven. And I think it's brilliant. What's going to happen in the next 3 to 5 years is going to be so exciting. So I'm quite excited, man.
I can imagine. No, I think we all are. It's fair to say we all are. The IPL now is the second most valuable sporting property. It's a very young property. It's a very young tournament. So for that to happen, there's a lot of kudos to be given out here, you know, credit where credit due. And so I come from a place of these questions. They come from a place of how can we make it better?
Absolutely.
You know, it's from the inside rather than the outside pointing fingers. cost.
No, I think that's what we need to thrive to, right? For me, I always keep saying, I think one of the things is how can we get stadium experiences better?
Yeah.
And one of the things we're working is how do we, you know, how can I still get my popcorn? How can I still get my beverage?
Yeah.
How can I avoid these big lines? You know, how can I get more comfortable seats? How do I, you know, how do we make this a family event in the stadiums?
Yeah.
How do we get more kids to come and watch it and make it friendly?
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of work going on. Unfortunately, COVID hurt us a bit where, you know, fans weren't allowed. But I think we're all thinking on those lines. That's why I said it's been interesting because sports fans, whether it's cricket, even football, are now watching. I mean, I took my six-year-old yesterday to the Mumbai City game.
Yeah.
He loved it. You know, all along he saw football on the television, said Manchester United was his team, came in yesterday, saw this football game, and he comes back to me and he says, you know, I like Mumbai City. When are we going for my next game?
I was at a game a couple of days back and just absolute fun. It was so nice to watch the game in a stadium. The experience was good. The fan culture is building. You can really tell.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that we need more people going out and supporting sport. I think it's very easy to, you know, we keep seeing the standards not really across sport, right? Whether it's tennis event, golf events, or we consume cricket strongly. I think culturally, we just need to look at it and say, hang on, this is a day out. This is a celebration, right? So why can't we go enjoy sport? And I think what's important is to enjoy where you come from. The region, right? A lot of American sport, or even in the UK, right, is because I support this team, not because they're number one, because I grew up there. For me, I think that's the culture we need to build to be able to support sport as against. And I think that's where with IPL, ISL, Kabaddi, Khokho, all of this happening in India, it gives, I think, kids, adults, everyone more exposure to sporting events. And I think that's important because all along, we just consumed it via television and then digital, right? Where did we get the experience unless you went and bought a ticket going abroad? Now it's coming to you. And I think that's very encouraging the way I look at it. Yeah. More events is better. We need to support it. And I think the other thing with sport, I feel in India is, I think a lot of people are in a hurry to say, oh, this is not going to work. The fact of the matter is, Rome wasn't built in a day. You've got to give it time. There are challenges with each sport. There are, you know, infrastructure challenges, there are cultural challenges, financial challenges. But as long as it persists, as long as we stand by it, I think it's only going to grow. I mean, you look at sport from a longer horizon.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. These things take time. And you know, in fact, coming, you've just mentioned there are a lot of financial challenges and you're right in the middle of those that space. So I just want to get into a bit of the sponsorship work that Rise does and that you've driven that side of the business. Obviously, sponsorship is a broad term. It's very different for an IPL, which is an extremely established league, versus, say, an ISL. Though almost 10 years old now, still finding its feet. Could you give us a bit of like an understanding of how those two worlds are pretty different from each other?
You know, one of the questions I get asked very often by rights holders is, if an IPL team gets so much, why can't an ISL team get so much? If an IPL BCCI gets so much, why can't ISL Central League, or even PKL, or the Table Tennis League, or Khokho, right? And I keep saying the key is that we've got to understand our assets well. One of the things is just the way to evaluate. I think, and one of the things we've done as Rise very well is, our benchmarks have not been towards what someone else is getting. Our benchmarks is trying to understand what value each asset can give. And we've been very lucky in the last, what, 5-6 years for Rise. We work with the ICC, work with Cricket Australia, Big Bash, ECB, 100, BCCI, all IPL teams, ISL Centrally, all ISL teams, PKL, Maharashtra Open Tennis. We've done work now with football internationally, right? Manchester United, Man City, La Liga. Now, all of these, the deal size varies. But what we've been smart about is understanding what value each asset gives,
right,
and who's the right buyer for it. Like, you know, a lot of people ask me on ISL versus IPL, right? I keep saying ISL is still at a very nascent stage, the ISL. And if you look at football, right, it works very well in certain markets. In those markets like Kerala, it does so well. you know, or Northeast or Goa, right? It does so very well. So your comparison is you're going to get a lot more regional sponsors because that's how ISL's grown about it, right? So, you know, people very often say, oh, if it's the right chest of an IPL team and an ISL, oh, it should, you should at least get 25%. No, I don't think that's the way to look at it. I think you need to look at the local market. You look at what the narrative is, what the value of each, the players is, what the league is. And I think, again, that's what we spend a lot of time with data here. Today, we pretty much can sit and understand the fan. And then we map that fan to the TG of the brand that's looking for. Right? Like, right. Like, so go back, if you look back the IPL, look at it, the central sponsorships where you can come in and do it. But somewhere in the IPL teams, we find brands and say, okay, why don't you look at these four markets? So, you know, that's why I think you can't compare commercialization.
Yeah.
ISL, again, is so focused towards the youth, right? That it's going to take time. I'm going to be interested in the next 10, 15 years. If you look at the ISL numbers, yeah. I believe it's going to be very, very encouraging because everyone's looking at this. A lot of kids want to play football.
Yeah.
So as long as I think we start evaluating the assets on merit in their own value, and if the rights holders are focused towards it, not in a rush, right? Like I said, if the benchmarks are done correctly, then I think we're in a good position.
Nikhil, so another side of the business that we obviously want to touch upon is, and that you've been spearheading, is the talent. But how does the talent business work?
I think it's interesting because, I think 4 years back, I was asked if I'd come and run this business, right? It was very interesting because all along, I've been a commercial guy. I was involved with the talent team on trying to get endorsements on it. But then, you know, I was given the responsibility of running the business. And I think it was very new to me. And I think it's very exciting. And I think the first key task when I thought about it is, if you look at the business, is how do you, you know, when you look at, from a business perspective, you look at a talent and you think of his agent or his manager. Right now, they're two different people. His agent and his manager are two different people. So one of the things that, when we spoke internally with the leadership and the team was, how can I build an organization within the team where each talent today is supported by about 8 people? It's not one person. You have his manager who looks at his day-to-day needs.
Right.
You have his agent who's looking after all his commercial aspects. You've got the PR team involved. You've got the digital team involved. You've got the legal team involved. You've got the financial team involved. So you pretty much have, you know, it's not one person that's working with the talent. You have a team of about 6-7 people supported by the manager whose job is to get all of this together and make sure, you know, how do we make sure we get the best deals? What are the benchmarks? What kind of content do we need to put from a creation perspective?
Yep.
How do we use the press? What is the player comfortable with? And I think, one is, like I said, it's not just a one-man role. Each talent has got a team that he works. They come and meet the entire team about 3 times a year. We do proper reviews, spend time with them. They get to know each of the individuals that work for them. And the same way each of these individuals have views on every aspect of the talent, right? Yeah. We like to have that free-flowing conversation around it, right? And it's all drawn towards what the talent wants, right? Eventually, it's interesting when we sign on these players, we actually get a lot of research done on what people think of them, what's the following, because I may have a view.
Yeah.
But, you know, 10 other people may have a different view on each person, right?
Confirmation bias.
So we do a lot of research to understand what it is. We sit and agree with these talents saying, okay, is this how you want to be perceived? Every action of yours, is it going to lead towards a certain narrative?
Yeah.
How the fans are going to be able to work with you? And it's interesting because you don't want to change the type of person that the athlete is. You don't want to change their mindset. You want to be able to enhance and kind of, you know, a funny way, coordinate everything together so that the athlete doesn't lose itself, but you are actually someone who's influencing them, right? Our logic's simple. You know, their focus needs to be going on the field.
Yeah.
When they go off the field, they're going to have fun with us. So for us, we don't look at endorsements saying, oh God, you're only going to earn so much money. It's about saying, what do you want to do? What makes you happy? How do you want to be closer to your fans? What stories do you want to say, right? And that's what we spend a lot of time doing with them.
Right.
Without, you know, and that's what comes out. So if you look at today, Rohit, you know, talk about the environment, it's something that's so close to him. So, you know, it was classic where we talk about him and he said, you know, I want to push this. So today when the team's looking for endorsements, when the PR team's looking at narratives, when the content team's thinking, saying, okay, what do I have to put? What's the next video I have to put for Rohit or share with him for his approval? Everyone's thinking on those lens. And that's actually so much fun in a lot of ways when you're working as a team. And what's even more happy is when the fan consume it, right? When fans come and tell us, oh, I like this player because of this. And then as a team, I think we all feel phenomenal on the back of how we do this. And I think this is where Rise is going to be very clear, right? That at the end of the day, we've got to be, it's easier said than done, but we've got to be able to make the right decision for the athlete. It's okay to say no to deals.
Right.
We don't have one price for every deal. No, it varies. It's okay to say, you know, someone like Rohit's a classic example. He's got about 28 brands, but you don't see him all over. Because one of the things we want to do is we want to see someone in holdings in tier two. One sponsor does digital content. One does a television ad. One says, I want to do more meet and greets. Yeah. So how do you get that matrix right? And it all differs as per each player, right? It's about them being comfortable.
That was literally my next question, right? You've got a Hardik and a Rohit, two different ends of the spectrum. One's bold, brash. The other's calm, collected, leader, leads by example. How do you sort of, I mean, you do have, you're doing similar work for them in terms of the scope, but two completely different narratives.
It's interesting. So let me say, Rohit's very involved in everything.
Right.
He loves to do his meetings. He wants to know. He's happy to be part of conversation with sponsors, understand each of these. Like, he needs absolute details of what it is. And he loves to be involved, right? Like, he enjoys this part. He understands the importance. He understands why his brand asking for this extra entitlement, or, you know, what is the brand trying to achieve? Hardik, on the other hand, is very different, where he's, you know, like I said, he's one of the most fearless guys, right? Very early we picked up, right? And he's someone who, just as a personality trait, says, you know, you guys are my team, do what's right. You guys, you know, you guys take care of me. You care for me, right? So he's not that hands-on, as long as, but then again, that comes with a lot of him trusting us, which we've earned over a period of time.
Yeah.
But the narrative is so different. So, you know, our styles of working with each one is so different, right? With Hardik, it's a lot more saying, you know, this is what we think you should be doing. This is the price point. This is how we need structure. And he goes, great. Rohit's about, he wants to understand it till he's not convinced, right narrative.
Right.
He's more clear in his head of how he wants perception, trait. Jaspreet, another athlete, very interesting with us. When he came on very early days, he was like, you know, do I really need to do a lot of commercial stuff? He's just one of those guys who was a bit shy, just so focused on his cricket. You know, he comes across
it's the skill
just knows all about it. But he's, after some time, right, he started enjoying commercial work. And now he enjoys it. He wants to be more ads. He calls up and he says, well, listen, what's the next thing we're going to be doing?
Right.
You know, what's the next brand we're going to be building? What's the next story about me and the fans that we're going to be talking about? So all of them have to enjoy this. This is not, if it's going to be looked at the lens of saying only money, you've got a challenge, right? And that's why it's also our job in a way to make it comfortable for the player, be able to build the narrative. And I think that's the fun part in all of this, right? That the whole team enjoys all of this.
No.
See, in an athlete's career, right, you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have good days and bad days. But for us, we're very clear that the brand needs to be able to understand the athlete. So, example, a lot of times before we close deals, we make the brand managers or the representatives meet the athletes. We actually don't mind them spending time.
Yeah.
Because they've got to have the relationship. We're here to guide and coordinate, right?
Yeah.
But if they have the relationships and they enjoy it, you know, a lot of times we have where, you know, the CEOs or founders of company have now become good friends with the athlete. And we love it. Because then they're talking, saying, hang on, how do we collaborate more? Why don't we create a line of something? Or why don't you do this? So it all becomes exciting, and you're not restricting yourself by saying, oh, this is all you can do, right? That's what you want.
Yeah.
And that's when long-term deals are happening.
The athlete's more in control, more involved with everything that they're
doing. Yeah, see, and I think here you need to be able to pick the right brand and think long-term, yeah. For me, I think that's the endorsement business where you've got to, you know, we do most of our deals long-term. I think if you look at Hardik, I think 75% of our brands have been there for the last 5 years. They've been there.
Right.
You know, they've not really changed.
Right.
But the campaign changes, the narrative changes, but they've not really changed much on that aspect.
So I think the next question I'd come to, in fact, is everything that you've said. You look at the life cycle of your talent, of the athlete. So, like, where Rohit Sharma is, he's probably been in his peak for the past 5, 6, 7 odd years. Hardik, maybe a shorter period of time, but also sort of hitting his peak right now, especially as a commercial asset, you know, if you had to look at him that way. So, when you find a younger athlete, a 20-year-old, for example, India's new number one women's tennis player, Parman Thandi, what is the approach there?
Good, very good question, actually. And I think that's where the fun is. So we look at an athlete in three phases, right? Is one, when they're in the fringe of breaking into the global scene. When I say global, is representing their country at the level. They're just entering that whole thing. They're enjoying this whole thing. The second phase is when they're in the peak and they've established themselves very well. You know, they are a regular in the squad. You know, they're very consistent in every aspect of it. And the third phase is when they take on the role of being a captain, mentor, grooming the next generation, right? So all three of, you know, these are typically the three phases. And then the last one is when they're thinking of their future. What happens post the retirement? So here, when you look at it, right, in the first phase, it's about trying to be able to groom the athlete. You know, it's unbelievable, a lot of work is done. How do they talk? What words do they use? How do they deal with the media? Right. How do they deal with their mindset? They're still young. They're going to have wins. They're going to have losses. Yeah. They're going to get enamored by all these things. How do they have the right influencers around them? What kind of deals do we do? Sometimes when they're young, we try and make sure we get the right brands and don't get them thinking just about the money, right? Try and get some exposure so they start understanding it. To the example that in the early days, we make sure we do a good mix of even meet and greets.
Right.
It's not just TV commercials, right? So that they start interacting with people, with business managers,
right,
with their clients. And how do you also build a team when they're doing their commercials, right? Whether it's the hairstylist, whether it's the photographer.
Yeah.
So you spend a lot of trying to groom and work around this piece, right? Because then they're ready for the next stage when they are pretty much going to hit their peak soon. Then when they're at the peak, it's a very different mind. Then it's about trying to get the best commercial deal.
Right.
They have their entourage in place. It's about trying to get them the maximum amount of visibility. They start getting a little idea of how they want to be positioned.
Yeah.
They start asking us all the right questions on, you know, how do I look?
Yeah.
What is going to happen next? Then they move to the third phase, which is more narrative led, which is someone like a Rohit is a classic. So if you go back in the first phase is where Shreyas Iyer was about 3 years back, you know, yeah. NBA, All-Stars, Red Bull,
Gillette.
You know, Nike, Gillette, all the cool brands that you want to have, which was the building up, right? Then you go in the center was, you know, Hardik or Bumrah establishing themselves, moving to the leaders, you know, tried brands, right values, start looking at big numbers, national heroes in the biggest way. These are certain important steps to do, right?
It's maturing as
education, financing. And they set context for the next 10 years. You know, what am I going to be known for when I move away from cricket, right? So you pick a Shikhar as another classic example who's significantly towards content. He loves the whole content space. Today wants to do more reels and more content than actually endorsements. He says he loves, and his fans love it.
Right.
So, you know, and then you had Surya Kumar, who is Blade Bloomer. Phenomenal form. Now he's going through, we've signed a lot of brands for him. And he's enjoying it right now. Right?
It's irresistible right now.
Exactly. But, you know, we worked on him over the last 3 years when we signed him on saying, you know, what should he be talking? So we pretty much work with the premise that they are going to hit their peak.
Right.
How are we going to be ready with this? And how do they stay comfortable under the skin, right? I think that's the most, we don't want to change them. We don't want to be telling them what to do. It's them just enjoying themselves. And in a lot of ways, you know, it's amazing. All our athletes come on time for shoots because they actually enjoy it. You know, they actually come to us and say, okay, what am I doing next? What am I doing the next commercial work?
Right.
It's not like, oh God, I've got to do this. Because we've made this fun and we want them to enjoy it. And they have full control on what brands, narratives. They actually get involved in creatives, man. Some of them actually like, oh, why can't I do this differently? Why can't I dress like this? Oh, I saw that athlete do this.
And do you enjoy that or do you ask them to get back?
Yeah, we like. We actually, I mean, listen, the good thing for me is I've got a great team. Brilliant. That does phenomenally well. And I think eventually, like I said, if they enjoy all of this, it means more business for us. It means more revenue for us.
Absolutely.
So it's all kind of growing together.
You've hit the right thing where I want to get into revenues. Just touch upon it a bit with Rise Worldwide, the talent side of things. What are those commercial structures for Rise and talent? Obviously, you know, I don't know how much you want to get into out here, but I think our audience is a very business audience, you know, and these things interest them. So could we get a bit of a breakdown of these structures, of these commercial structures?
Yeah, so we, you know, if you look at the talent business over the last 3 years, we've grown at about 40% year on year. That's how we pretty much have grown on it.
Right.
From a fee structure perspective, we charge a commission. It's all very transparently done.
Right.
We charge the athlete a commission for all the work we do for him. It's as simple as that. I think a lot of time it's about trying to make it simple, right?
Yeah.
There is no rocket science to this. You know, so it's very simple where we charge a percentage, which is pretty uniform across all our boys.
Right.
They pay us a fee happily for all the work we do.
Right.
And that's the way we grow a business. I think that's the, like I said, a 40% growth year on year by selecting the right brands.
Right. Is
pretty much where it is, and then the talent pays the brands pay the talent directly. It's got to be fair, then it's sustainable. Right, so we're very, very transparent, and we don't want churn, because in a lot of ways, if you want to build something in the long term, you want to build a strong value system, then you need time to build it.
Of course.
And hence you need to see what is going to be sustainable.
So it's good to know that you guys are in for the long run, and that helps the sport.
So Nikhil, how exactly is the gender gap in sports? How is that being bridged? How does sponsorship work in the women's sport? You know, there have been a lot of murmurs of, I mean, there has been progress in the past few years. I mean, you've got with BCCI announcing equal pay for both their men's and women's team. Been murmurs of a women's IPL in the works. Football's done really well on a global stage on the women's side of things with attendance. How does this whole situation work when it comes to sponsorships and brands, and how do they interact with each other?
Look at the football piece that we do. It has boys and girls, and like you mentioned, you actually have equal ratio. See, when something like one is, it's great to say it's equal, right? But it's going to take time for us culturally for them to play. To me, and what I'm very aware of is brands. The women's IPL is going to be launched. I can tell you brands are so excited, because it's a new narrative. Let me give you a great stat. One of the great stats why the IPL is so successful. And I remember when I was, this is about 8-9 years back. You know, one of my client, the BCC at that point, someone said, if you have more women following, you'll have FMCG brands and you'll be amazed, Nikhil, by what kind of brands will come into the ecosystem. I went and looked at the stat and we said we had an 18% women following. What I understand, I think a couple of years back, we're at 40s, right? And that's what I keep saying, why the IPL is so successful, is because you're seeing this as a family, because, you know, you're seeing this across it. And I think that's important. Same thing with women athletes, Smriti Mandana, Jemima, Mithali Raj. We have all of them walking at Fashion Week. I think today, and I think sport like football is changing, because if you go back, and I think it's important to cover this, you go to turfs today. My son's class got more girls than guys play. And I think it's brilliant. It's amazing where they're not saying it's in our days where it's girls versus boys. It's saying it's four of us versus four of y'all. Let's play the sport, right? And I think that's important. But again, you've got to give it time. You know, you've got to give it time. It's very easy to sort of make statements. But I think it's about how you're able to push. You know, like we're excited today. Women's IPL is going to be a thing. The team's working hard, saying, okay, what are we going to pitch to sponsors? What narratives are going to be doing? I was at the brand 2 days back, which said, Nikhil, what, we've got these superstar men superstars. Why don't we also get these women superstars? And imagine we did a campaign like this. My consumers will love it. And I said, it's so good because we don't need to pitch things like this. So somewhere, you know, when the women IPL comes in, BCCI pushes that. So you need a lot of that to then create that excitement. It's not just going to happen by saying this is ideal, right? I think every IPL, my personal opinion is, forget the 10 IPL teams. I think there'll be a lot more that'll want IPL teams. You'll be amazed how many people will be interested in the IPL teams. I think it's going to be a great time in sport, especially Indian sport, when that happens, because it's going to lead to a roll-on effect on every other sport.
So the last thing I just do want to touch upon is the grassroots side of the business, Reliance Foundation, working with young talent. Been doing a lot of stuff in Olympic sports and not just the core cricket, football, the things we know, you know, a lot of track and field. How's that going? What's the future like? Where's that headed?
Grassroots, very important one. I think Reliance Foundation, is Mrs. Ambani, Ms. Nita Ambani, and Avisha. They're quite involved with this whole piece.
Right.
It's very important from a perspective that, you know, we're sitting and talking about all these leagues. Eventually, the players need to come from India, right?
Yeah.
It's not just about trying to get the international players from a commercial perspective, but also the key point of, you know, when it's the Olympics, when it's the World Cup, when can we be participating in it? Imagine India playing the Football World Cup.
Yeah.
Imagine India getting a lot more medals in the Olympics. Or you know, our players going and playing in the NBA, right? So there's a lot of effort that's being put. I think we've got the largest football program easily in the country. I'll be keen to see how well it's done. If it's the largest internationally, where it's, you know, it's all about school sports, it's about the youth on it. And we've got that at different levels, right? The foundation has, you know, which is more about participation. Then it goes about competing at the junior level. Then it's about, you know, you joining a core group where you're going to a performance center trying to get better. And then the support that you need to play at the international level.
Right.
So there's a lot of effort. And again, this is going to be looked at from the next 10 years. You know, when ISL is going to be right up there, when we're going to have something somewhere from the from the highest levels for us. That's the goal. You know, why are we doing all of this, right? From a Reliance perspective, eventually, it's about the impact it's going to have on society, and our sport as a platform is so crucial to all of it, right? Because it's all about emotions, right? Why do we get
Absolutely.
So excited about sports?
I mean, these are pathways, right, for the future.
Absolutely.
These kids, you're creating pathways into professional sports as a player. If not as a player, you move on. You're creating opportunities out here with the foundation.
Yeah, I mean, I go back again this with the fact that when I went to Sheffield, you know, and I went to college. It's amazing. I thought, you know, all about sport was commercialization.
Yeah.
And when I go into this class of 20 people, there was only one other person of me who said, oh, I want to be a commercial manager of a sports franchise. You know, there was someone who said, oh, you know, I want to look at ballroom dancing as a sport. Someone said, I want to look at the Olympics and how much impact it can have on my country. Right? Someone said, how can sport be used at the lowest strata to have an impact on kids? And that kind of, you know, got me thinking, saying, you know, all we grew up thinking, there's Pete Sampras and behind the base and Tendulkar, and all we see is their ads. But, and I think that's when it got to me that, listen, sport is such an important aspect of our lives,
yeah.
Right? In India, it's still early stages. But, you know, when I saw my colleagues making presentations about things like that, and now when I, you know, after so many years, you know, at Reliance, you know, when I look at our team doing so many other things, it's so relatable, and it's going to be amazing of what they're trying to build, right? Because they shouldn't be looking at what they're going to be today. But when you look at it, and it's so easy for things like this to be looked away, right? Because we just look at, oh, this person's got the highest salary, or this is the biggest sponsorship deal, or this athlete is in this endorsement, which is mind-blowing. But it's a lot about how everyone else is coming together to build that. And I think Indian sport in general, again, I don't think it's one person's responsibility.
Yeah.
Or I think overall, I think that's why privatization's help is helping Indian sport a lot. Obviously, they're working closely with the government.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope we're going to have this conversation in 10 years down the line and say, amazing, India in the World Cup.
Yeah.
A lot more medals.
No,
let's talk about them and how we build heroes there.
You've said exactly what we've been thinking, right? So the last two episodes have actually been with Mustafa from JSW, where we've discussed the Olympic legacy and what we want to do there. And with Neil Shah, who's been doing a lot in football for a long time. So both of them, again, we keep going back into how do we build pathways and opportunities. How do we make it big with all these other sports? I think you've given us great insight today. Thank you very, very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that's a wrap for this episode. We hope you enjoyed listening, and please do like and share. The Business of Sports is now streaming on Amazon Music and JioSaavn, apart from Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And of course, ET's very own audio platform, ET Play. Also, shout out to Karan Ravi Shankar, the constant voice in my ear and tap on my shoulder. And of course, thanks to our sound engineer, Shumagni Biswas, for putting together the episode. And last but not least, our producers, Vinay Joshi, and the team at the Economic Times. Thanks for listening, and we will be back with a new episode at the same time every week.
All clips used in this episode belong to their respective owners. Credits mentioned in the description.
Seoul, 16:25.
This is the business of sports.
Business of sports.
From the Economic Times.